Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome, everybody, to Six Eyes Radio Network. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show. You're listening to Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Gospel Show, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things today, as we are going to have a great time on the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen, amen, amen. So who do we have with us here today, Queen Nye? All right. Looks like we got to get our coffee. Amen. Well, anyway, we're going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer here as we are waiting for everybody to get their coffee. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great time you're going to give us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day you have given us. We thank you for life, health, and strength, Lord Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that you just touch each and every heart, each and every life, Lord Jesus, as we are going to have a great time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, first of all, for this day. We thank you for everything you have done for us. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch right now this program. We ask you to take the wheel, Lord Jesus. Take it completely in your hands. We give complete control to you, Lord Jesus, so that that soul who is nearest hell would reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day, and let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, or physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there, Lord Jesus, who may have some sort of ailment, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that you'd touch them, raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, as only you can do. And then for those, Lord Jesus, who's lost someone due to some sort of ailment, Lord Jesus, we ask you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we got a job down here, and we need your help, Lord Jesus. We need to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all these blessings in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. How you doing today, Six?
I am doing great, Wolfgang. Thanks for asking.
Well, you got two thumbs up. What's your mental today?
Yeah. So two thumbs up for myself. Two thumbs up. Two paws up for Trumpet. He made a big great pot of coffee. So thank you, Trumpet. And we're going to have a great show on this March 10th, 2024. It's snowing outside, but hey, get your prayers on without leaving the house. Stay warm. Stay warm with the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show. Get your prayers on without leaving the house. Stay warm. Drink cocoa, coffee, tea. You'll get your praise on without leaving the house on this snowy, cold, blustery Sunday.
Amen. And for sure, for sure. And I am doing awesome. I got my two thumbs up. My wings are spread just right. Halo's right in place. And I am doing awesome today. I need to pray for Sister Ruth. She's not up to snuff today. So she's laying down but listening in. And we got Sister Emily. She's not on today. She said she'll listen on the rewind. And so they both asked for prayer today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So prayers for Ruthie and prayers for Emily, prayers for the staff of the Six Eyes Radio Network. Anything that needs to be repaired, recharged, mentally, recharge it. And if you're part of the Six Eyes Radio Network team and you have any issues concerning the station, please get in touch with Queen Nye. She's the station manager, so send all issues over to Queen Nye. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
And all right, and how are you doing, Queen Nye, today?
I'm absolutely lovely. That's what I'm claiming. You know, we have to keep our spirits up and not allow evil spirits or anything affect our mental. We have to do our best and stay positive. So my mother always taught me to be positive and take what's good. You know, that's what my godfather taught me. Take what's good out of situations and move forward. So with that being said, I've got two thumbs up. My beautiful Diamond has four paws up, and she's over there eating.
All right.
My crown is sitting just right, and I'm blessed. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. Amen. I'm complete.
Well, I'll put it this way, Queen Nye. I'm always positive. The only thing I'm definitely positive about is I've got movable walls. In my house, they always tend to walk out in front of me. I'm positive for that.
Wow. Maybe you're making your coffee
you today,
too strong.
Huh?
He's probably making his coffee too strong.
Oh, gosh. You know what's funny? Every time Six would try to be smart and say something and be slick about it, he turns around and walks off, and I promise you the wall or something would tag him every time. It's like, yeah.
That is one positive thing, Six. I'll say this, you know, kind of a thing that, you know, someday we got to deal with this on a jumbo braille. You know, one thing about being blind, it doesn't pay to get angry and it goes stomping off like a sighted person. It doesn't work because guaranteed every single time if you get angry and you go stomping off, guaranteed you're going to run into something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because when you're angry, you forget where things are and your autopilot goes out the window and it is... Bam, you're right into something. You're the one that gets hurt. So
it ain't nothing like getting mad and you talking sugar honey iced tea and you walking off talking and next thing you know you just fall over something. All right. That's the worst. I'm like, okay.
I told him, I said,
sure.
God always gets revenge.
Yeah, so, all right, why don't we get moving on with the show here? All right, we got our scripture reading, so let's get right into that.
This is Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Know ye not my brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from that law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress. though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And this was Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. All right, now let's boogie for Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We go.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. Someone's got to get their coffee. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And can you repeat that one more time? That was Romans chapter 10?
No, Romans 7, 1 through 10.
1 through 10. Okay, thank you. I think I'm going to have to put broadcasting. Amen. Thank you so much. All right. Six. Getting the music?
Yeah, give me 2 minutes.
All right. I'll play a commercial. Diamond says she's waiting on the music.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Amen. And if you wish
this
to keep programs like this one on the
You're
air,
listening to the Six Eyes.
If
this
you wish to keep programs like
You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you wish to keep programs like this on the air, let me tell you how you could go about doing that. First off, you could go to PayPal. If you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIX-EYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you, and we once again thank you again. Amen. And don't forget to join the Facebook page for the Six Eyes Radio Network. It's the Six Eyes Radio Network group page right there on Facebook. Join. Amen.
Amen. All right. While Six is working on that, I'm going to go ahead and play another song, which is a song I like just because a friend of ours made it, but it was dedicated to her mother. And since this is International Women's, or the International Women's Day just passed, and some people say it's the Women's Month, I wanted to play this song because it's such a beautiful song. And she's a beautiful person, and I'm thankful to be able to call her one of my beautiful sisters. This is Carlette Martin, Mama.
You mean so much to me, Mother, I love you. Remember those nights when I would hear her in the bare room crying, pray when she was in pain.
She would smile at me
and hold my hand, and say it's gonna be okay.
She said you'll never leave her nor forsake her.
She believes in your word.
She's always listening.
My loving walking angel on this earth. Your remembrance of her love and her praises with you.
to me. He gives me peace, peace, peace.
Amen. All right, well, we're going to keep rolling. Obviously, I think Six is still working on what he's working on, so we're going to make it happen.
Murphy's Law.
All right. Oh, you got it?
Murphy's Law.
Okay.
This is Carlette Martin, and I am unbreakable. You're listening to Six Eyes Gospel.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
I said, what did he see?
The best.
Bobby Jones, NSB, and the wonderful voice of Faith Eddie.
That was Rejoice With Me by Bobby Jones.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me. and refuse to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. We've meant so much more, still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path and opening every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from your love.
When there's so much more, yes,
eyes
haven't seen, ears haven't
heard
all your plans for me,
and nothing
can separate me from your love. Towards the mark, cause the calling on my life is worth fighting for. And I'll keep my mind stayed on you, Jesus, because the peace it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful for my wife and children, because my family is worth fighting for. No, this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout out, hallelujah.
Amen. You're worth fighting for.
Welcome, Pastor Bonnet. How you doing today?
Thank you. God bless you. I feel welcome. Thank you. I'm doing well. Two thumbs up. Amen. I pray everyone else is doing well today.
Pastor.
Amen.
Amen. All right. The selection you requested, Better Days, is coming right up.
All right. Thank you.
You can sing it for
us. This song goes out to everyone who's been going through a struggle, to those that feel like you're about to give up, to those of you that don't know what to do next. This song is to encourage you that better days are coming.
Amen.
Better Days by Leandria Johnson on Amazon Music.
Sunshine.
Well, better days are coming.
Amen. Amen. Paul, I listened to that with Leandra Johnson.
Well, that's what's up.
Amen. Amen. For all our listeners, that was Leandra Johnson, and she was singing Better Days. I don't know about your side of the sound, but my side, I wasn't able to hear all the lyrics. I want to share with the listeners the words of the song that she shared. She said, "Sometimes it feels cold, and you feel all alone. But hold on, better days are coming. It could be rough in this world. I know it ain't easy, but hang on in there. I know better days are coming. You've seen good, you've seen bad. You've been hurt beyond sin. But just remember that better days are coming. Better days are coming. friends will leave you all by yourself. But don't cry, because better days are coming. Better days are coming. Better days. Better days are coming. It's only a season. Hang on in for you're going through, yeah. But still focus and never lose sight. I know people, yes, people, they don't see the hurt you feel inside.
Yes.
But keep on smiling, because
yes,
everything will be all right. Better days, it's here now. Better days, I feel it. Better days are coming. You got to believe in your better days. Better days are coming. For your mother, for your father, for your sisters and your brothers, better days are coming. Better days are coming. Yeah, better days are coming. Better days are coming your way soon. I want to encourage somebody today that better days are coming. One of the assignments of born-again believers is to encourage the world that better days can come their way, that better days are coming. Amen. And there's a system to it. We're still in this monthly emphasis of stewardship. Let me put a pin there. I want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life. Thank God that I'm saved, sanctified, baptized, not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit as well. Thank God for everyone here on the program today in your respective places, each one of you, one by one, name by name, all of God's people. Thank you for all the listeners that are listening in today. I am Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, and God has given me this to encourage you today. If I can leave the thought of this message with you today, it is, how do you answer people about God? How do you answer people about God? Nowadays, people are talking about God in all kinds of ways, but they're not saying the name of Jesus, many. But though, how do you give an account for the things of God? There was a time where our society was in theolism. Amen. There was a belief, a general belief about God. Now, with so many religions and so many things, you have your atheist, you have your agnostic, you have this religion, that religion, and that. So how do you give the answer about the God that you think you serve and love? And this is a teaching in stewardship, and I pray that it bless you on today. A good manager, not just any manager, I'm talking about a good manager. We know in this world we have some bad managers. They misrepresent the company. But I'm talking about a good manager, a good manager. A good manager is a steward of someone else's property or business, a good manager. Mm-hmm. Again, I know there's some bad managers out there. They misrepresent the company that they say they are for. They talk against the company, but they yet still trying to work for the company. That ought not to be for us as believers. But a good manager is a steward of someone else's property or business. All managers are to represent the company that they are employed by. Amen. Amen. In other words, if you're a manager for Walgreens, you don't represent CVS. Uh-huh. If you're a manager for Pizza Hut, you represent the local pizza diner down the street. Amen. Little Caesar or someone, you represent who's employing you. Amen, somebody. So that part of that stewardship is being responsible for the representation of the company that you're standing for? That proposed a whole lot of questions. I'm gonna try not to get stuck right there. But all managers are to represent the company that they are employed by. Therefore, while working at the job, their responsibility to others must be that which is in the best interest of the company or the organization that employs them. Amen. Many of us are calling ourselves the children of the Most High God, but are we representing the Most High God? Oh, Lord, help today. We say that we are born again Christian, but are we representing what it is to be in new life? Amen. To be born again. Are we making a good representation of what we're claiming? Uh-huh. You know, there's some mechanics that say they're mechanics, but they can't fix nothing. It seems like it's worse than, keep on moving, preacher, keep on moving. So the earth is, y'all know it, y'all heard it before, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. So since we're given that in Scripture, that the world belongs to God and all they that dwell therein, then we are the very creation of God. And so if we are the creation of God, should not we represent him in a better way? Amen. Should not we represent him? Well, we say it all the time. God is love. Glory to God. God is good all the time. And all the time, what? God is good. Amen. We like to get a little hyped up. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But if I'm made in the image and likeness of all of God, well, why then am I not good when all the time? Glory to God. Why then all the time I'm not good? Well, maybe because I keep misrepresenting him who I say I am representing. That means I may not be a good manager. My stewardship is being called into question. Lord, help us today. Help us today. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. We are the children of God and joint heirs of God's kingdom. Therefore, we are the representative on earth for the kingdom. We are. If you have named the name of Christ, if you say you are a believer, a follower of Christ, then you're stating to the world that I represent a different nation, a different kingdom. Yes, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. The Lord has declared for us to be separate, saith the Lord. Well, he don't mean come out from within the world, because then where we gonna go? We can't live in space. We need oxygen to breathe. Amen, somebody. So in the land that we're living, wherever you're planted in this world, wherever you're planted in this world today, you need to understand that you represent the kingdom of God if you say that you're born again, if you claim that you are a believer, if you claim that you are a Christian, then your life should represent who you're working for. The Bible already told us we are not our own, for we have been bought with a price. Therefore, we represent on earth for the kingdom. We're the representative. The Apostle Peter, amen, he reminds us that we, you and I, that call ourselves believers, regardless of what denomination you say you are. In other words, this fit everybody. So if you're a $1 bill, or if you're a $5 bill, if you're a $10 bill, if you're a $20 bill, if you're a $50 bill, or if you're a $100 bill, Whatever bill that you're saying that you represent, you represent that currency.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're claiming, the proof of it is when I take you to the store, then I'm able to be able to give the cashier you, and the cashier give me change back or tell me I need to add more to it, but they'll be able to utilize the currency that I'm using, because if they can't use the currency that I say I am, then there must be some monopoly going on. Oh, Lord, help today. There must be some artificial, some fakeness going on. And if you say you represent God, then your currency must be the right currency for what you're saying that you're representing. Am I making myself clear? Am I making it clear to you? Amen. So therefore, amen, Brother Peter, He reminds us, amen, he reminds us that we are to be ready always, not sometimes, not maybe. If I go to the store right now, or a salesman came to my door right now, or my bill was due right now, whether my bill is due on the 1st, the 2nd, or the 3rd, or whenever it's due, whenever I pull that money out to pay the bill or to pay my tab or to pay my grocery, to pay whatever it is, my clothing, whatever it is that I'm trying to purchase, the money needs to work all the time, not sometimes. And see, that's the currency. Currency is usable at any given time. And you and I, we say that we are the currency of God. You know, we have all these titles now. So some of us, we are $1 bills. You know, some of us are $5 bills, $10 bills, et cetera. You know, I know some of you just coins. Uh-huh. Yeah. You pocket change. We're gonna keep it moving. We ain't going to stay there because we ain't trying to talk about nobody. Amen. But Brother Peter, he reminds us, he says, that we're to be ready always to give a answer. What a answer. What a answer to every man. Not some man, not some people, but to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And this is how you to do it. You're not to do it in arrogance. You're not to do it as if you're better than somebody, but you do it in meekness. Yeah, and with fear. This fear here is not that you're afraid. This fear here is one of reverence. Amen, 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 amen. Father God, bless this truth as I journey with this, your people today, through the scriptures, as we examine the life of even Moses, as we look through the scripture, as we use it to examine ourselves, that we will be accountable to that which we are to be accountable with. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks, glory, honor, and praise. Amen and amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 7, reading from the King James Version. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read two verses for you. Chapter 3, verses 7 and verses 11. Amen. Verse 7 reads, "And the Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, "said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people." Whose people? His people. "Which are in Egypt." That means no matter where you at, God saying, "I see you." So wherever you may be planted in this world today, whether you're listening to this station today, wherever in the world you're receiving this, God has said, "I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt." Egypt here represents a state of bondage and abuse,
mm-hmm,
and false doctrine. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. God hears your pain. That's why I played the song Better Days Are Coming, because God sees your suffering when nobody understands why you're suffering the way you're suffering, when nobody sees, even your spouse may not see how you're hurting on the inside and you want to be whole, but something keeping you disconnected. But there's a word from God, and that is better days are coming. And the hope that you must have is in the word of God that have promised us weeping may endure for a night, but joy, woo, glory, joy cometh in the morning. I don't know who that's for, but I'm going to say it one more time. Weeping, that means the time of crying, the time of mourning, the time of pain, the time when you don't know how you're going to make the ends meet, when you don't know what to meet, you don't know what to do and how to do it, you don't know how you're going to figure it out. Those times, he said, they may endure for a night. That's a season. That's a moment in time. But he's promised that joy cometh in the morning. That means there's a new day for you. There's a brand new day, a brand new season coming your way. So here again in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, King James Version, it says, and the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. For I know their sorrow. The one of the beautiful things about those in the faith of Christ is we have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Because just like us, he was tried by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, just like you and I. He understood what it was to walk around and his feet get dirty. He understood what it is when his stomach started growling. He understood what it was when people rejected him just for doing good, not nothing evil. He understood. So just like you and I, sometimes we're talked about, sometimes we're mocked, made fun of. He understood that. Glory to God. Verse 11 goes on and says, and Moses said unto God, here's Moses, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Pharaoh was the king. Amen. He also represents a great house. Sometimes when God tells us to do things, we look at people as being much higher than we are. We look at people as being out of our reach. And God has told us, has told many of us to go here, to go there, and we think little of ourselves. We think it's impossible to reach the sky. He said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Somebody today wondering how you're going to be able to deliver your family out of poverty, out of sin, out of the abuse that they're being in. Somebody got a neighbor that you're wondering, how can I reach them? Who am I to reach them? God may have put it on your heart. May God have given you a word to share with them. And you're in your mind like Moses was. Let me stop for a moment and give you the background, quick view of the background of Moses. Moses was the boy that was drawn out of the Nile River. He was the one that was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He was the one that was promised to be a deliverer. But yet he grew up for the first 40 years of his life in the house of Pharaoh. That means he grew up with their education. He grew up in their system. He grew up under their monopoly. He grew up under their system and organization. But it came to a point where he saw, he understood that the children, that the Hebrew people was his true people. He understood that they were his kinsmen. And he saw a mistreating of one, and he took it upon himself to help them by killing the person that was oppressing them. That wasn't the way God wanted to be done. Amen. God wants you to help somebody, but he don't need you to kill nobody to help somebody else. Amen, somebody. Because there was a way to break that up without killing nobody. Amen. Because all lives are precious in the sight of God. And so Moses, he goes and he sees the same two brethren, the same people, fighting amongst one another, at odds with one another, and he tries to be a referee. And they said, who made you a judge over us? Who made you over us? What you going to do now? Are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian the other day? And this thing seared him, because now he know that he's committed a capital crime. And it's known. So this thing is not done, and it's not done. That means these are different people. He done that over there, but they talking about it over here. See, your sin's going to find you out. Amen. You might be getting away with it for right now, but sooner or later, your sin going to uncover who you are. Amen. If you got bad character, it's going to reveal your true intention in time. And so Moses flees from Egypt. And for the next 40 years, he's on the backside of a desert being taught all over again, learning how to be a herdsman, learning how to serve God in a wilderness place, in a desert place, near a mountain, learning a different way of life. And so as that dust settles down, Moses is tending to the flock. He's on his daily journey. He's busy working. God don't call lazy people. You can't, if God has called you, it's not for you to remain lazy. It's for you to be doing something. And you'll never find your true calling in God sitting on your do nothing. Moses was doing something, and he saw this burning bush, and as he saw the burning bush, he turned to the side, and he said, man, I don't seen bushes on fire before, because I'm in the desert. That happened all the time. But what was uniquely about this that got his attention, the bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. He said, wait a minute. I see the fire, but I don't see no smoke. Lord, what's going on here? And he has an encounter with God, Jehovah, not Jehovah, Jehovah, where in the scripture text that's spelled with a Y, not a J. He's a Hebrew. They don't even use the word J, the letter J. And God from the bush speaks out to him, telling him to remove his sandals. So the ground, the sand, the dirt that he was now standing on was holy. That means it was consecrated. It was sacred. It was to be set aside. It was holy ground. And God began to tell him what he must do. And like most of us, the very first thing he began to do is begin to say what he can't do. As if God didn't already know what he could or what he couldn't do. It's amazing how we try to tell God what we cannot do, and he the one that made us. It's like the person that made the Apple computer. He knows he's on OSI service. So he know it's not going to work with Windows. Mm-hmm.
because he made it and he designed it. So he's not telling it to work on Excel and he's telling it to work on a whole different system. God knows where what he had put in us, each one of us. He knows the uniqueness in each one of us. So when he gives instruction to us, he already knows the core processor. He knows how much we can handle, what loads can we handle. Amen. The problem is, like most people, we start downloading a whole bunch of junk.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us the core, the relationship. God gives us a core to love him with all our heart, our soul, our might, our strength. He gives us a core. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And we begin to take on the cares of the world. We download this program, that program, this program, that program. We download everything that says that we can be better except for the Bible. And we listen to everyone that's telling us how to be better except for the preachers that's preaching the Bible. We follow every program that tells us that we can be self-made instead of talking to the one that made self. Oh, y'all ain't going to talk to me. My God. And so we start doing all this, and now we are full of junk on the inside, and we're wondering why we keep buffering. And we wonder why when somebody asks us, any computer operatives out there, anybody that worked on a computer of any kind, whether it's your tablet, whether it's your desktop, whether it's your laptop, if you done got on a computer and you're trying to type something in and it keeps stopping and it freezes, it aggravates the stew out you. That's the best word I'm going to use. That's the best word I'm going to use. It aggravates the stew out you. Because you're like, man, your design, when I type you in to keep moving, your design to process the information that I'm putting in you to give me the result that I'm looking for, but you keep buffering. Every time I try to watch a show or watch a video, you keep spinning. Somebody come and ask us, why do you serve God? And we got to spin our wheels before we can answer the question. You say that you're called to preach. You say that you're called into the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ask you to give a sermon, and you won't even give your testimony. You say, well, I ain't had no time. And you get up and say, well, the pastor just let me know just a moment ago. I'm not prepared. We supposed to be always ready, according to the book, to give an answer and a reason for the hope. And the problem is, many times when we're really asked to give an answer for why we serve God, we don't get that opportunity again to encounter that person. That person is asking God, if you're real, show me somebody that can introduce me to you. Show me you, and God send you that way, and you buffer. Because you got all this other junk, all this other bloatware inside of you, you buffer. You started talking about your affirmation instead of talking about him who gave us all information, him who is and is to come. You say that you're saved, but you can't even tell nobody how you got saved. Something is wrong. Slow down, preacher. Go back to your text. First Peter chapter 3, verse 8, King James, Marie 8 to 18. First Peter, there's a second Peter, but it's the same Peter for all of you that's wondering. Amen. First Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 18. I'll read again, still from the King James writing. King James wrote here, records for us. And verse 8 says, silently. That means we done did some talking. A lot of times, you know, that's how you feel about something. Can we just get to the end of this? You know, especially when you're in heated fellowship with your spouse. You really just want to get to the conclusion. You really want to get to the final. So here it is. Peter says, silently be ye all of one mind. Uh-oh. And they go out to nominations right there. Be ye one mind, one mind, one mind, one mind. Be ye one mind. This one mind concerns not your tongue. It concerns your faith in God. Be ye one mind. In other words, don't be caught between two opinions. Be of one mind. If Christ is the only way to get to the Father. If you think in your mind, well, maybe this will do and maybe that'll do, you're not of one mind. Okay? If you think that, well, there's good people in all religion. So God going to respect them because they're still people of faith. That's not one mind. That's division. So Peter says, again, silently, be ye, be you, you be all of you be. That word be is a very powerful word. Be ye. It deal with be for being. That means to become. And so he says, finally, being ye all of one mind, having compassion. That's a genuine love, y'all. That's a genuine concern about your fellow man. Having compassion one of another. In other words, if I should be moved when you are grieving. Not that I have to grieve, but I need to understand that you're in a season of grieving. I need to understand that you may be in a season of hardship and pain. And compassion, oftentimes when Jesus was on his missionary journey, the Bible will say he was moved with compassion and he healed them. He did something. He didn't just walk away. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful. Now, that's not sad and miserable. That's not what that word means. That's caring and courageous. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil. Just because somebody did something bad to you, don't you think in your heart that you need to do something bad towards them. Or railing for railing. I don't have to sit here and argue with you because you don't believe God like I believe God. In fact, it is my position to explain to you there is a God and there is life after death. And there is a charge for everyone living, and that is to go to the grave, God delays coming of Christ. We're all born, and one day, as time continues, we all gonna die. But just because we die don't mean we stop existing. There's no reincarnation. But there is a resurrection. And you're going to be resurrected either to death or to life. My job is to share with you the truth of being resurrected to life. My job is to share with you the good news that you don't have to pay the penalty of sin, which all mankind are due. There's a price. The wages of sin is death. What is sin? That which speaks contrary, differently from what God has said. Let me give you a Bible. To him that knoweth to do right and choose. I mean, it's a constant decision to do differently. To him, the individual, it is sin. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the problem was the wages of sin is death. Okay, I done sinned. Whether I did it one time or a million times, I done sinned. So have you. The penalty or the payment is my life, death. So that's a debt that the only way to pay it is to die. But if I die in sin, when I'm resurrected, I'm resurrected in sin. That means I go to the punishment place for those that die in sin, which is hell. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly. He's speaking of not just this life, but the life to come. He is the first that's resurrected from the dead. That means he do not have to go back to the grave. And he did not go back to the grave. He ascended on high. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Uh-oh, where I am, you may be also. Let me get back to my text. Verse 9 again, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. In other words, I've been called to bless people. Wait a minute, preacher. You can't go around blessing everybody. Okay. Well, allow me to explain to you what a blessing is. A blessing is when you speak something good towards someone. Now, y'all know you can call your little niece and nephews, you can call them some bad behind children. Y'all use other words.
Mm-hmm.
And this child just bad. And the mama gonna say, my child not bad. They just mischievous. Or they just don't know better. And that mama gonna always cover them. And not gonna let you just throw them away and call them bad. They just innocent. Don't call my baby bad. See, what mama is doing is speaking a blessing on them because you spoke a curse because you called them bad. Oh, I know y'all don't like it. That's all right. But brother preacher, what if there is bad? What if there is no good? What if that, then what am I to do there? Then I am to tell them you don't have to stay bad. You don't have to stay mischievous. You don't have to stay broken. You don't have to stay afflicted in pain and suffering. There's a way out for you. There's deliverance for you. There's joy for you. There's peace for you. There's hope for you. That's how I declare a blessing to the atheist. Hey, what you believe is wrong, but there's a better way. I'm speaking of blessing. When I come against homosexuality or any practice of immorality or sexual sins of any kind, I'm not hating on you. I'm speaking a blessing to you by telling you don't think it's going to cause your soul to rot in hell where the fire don't stop and eternity don't end. There's one way in, and you never come out. I'm speaking a blessing to you because I'm saying to you, you don't have to burn in a devil's hell. But all those that reject Christ will burn. Now, I don't care how many of you say, come and say to me, but brother preacher, what about folks that ain't never heard Jesus? What about folks? Man, I'm just going to preach to you the Bible because God knows who's heard what and what they heard. God knows how to reach everybody. You don't know what they know and what they don't know. You don't know what they had the opportunity to hear and have rejected. You are speaking stuff that you heard people brought up, what if? Well, if was a fifth, all of us be drunk. Let me keep on going. Don't stay there, preacher. Don't stay there. Keep on moving. So the text read, amen. So verse 10 one more time. I didn't read 10 at all. So let me read 9. Not rendering evil for evil, relish for relish, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So if God looked beyond my faults and saw my needs and reached out to me, giving me salvation, saving grace, shouldn't I want the same for you? Shouldn't I want you to get delivered? The problem is people made us mad and we tell them to go to hell. But we mean that. We ain't cursing them out. We cursing their life. We saying that with a passion of their condemnation, of their damnation. We want them to be condemned because they hurt our feelings, because they didn't do what was helpful for us. They broke our heart. They kicked our dog. They stole our car, or whatever the case may be. God did not call us to do that. Now, you say he did. Okay, I'm going to leave that between you and your creator. Because I don't know your assignment. I don't. And here's Bible. When David was fleeing from the presence of Saul, he was being blasted out by a man that they had once helped that was under him. And Paul's soldiers that was with him, that was fleeing with him, the ones that stayed loyal to him, was going to go and kill the man for speaking bad to David. I said, okay. I think I said a different name, so let me backtrack everything I just said. When David was running from King Saul, before David was king, his soldiers heard a man cursing David out. Because they were men of war, they was going to go kill the man. David said to his soldier, no, don't you kill him. Maybe God told him to curse me. What? What? Wait a minute, David. You the one killed Goliath. Saul killed his 1,000. You killed your 10,000. You're a mighty man of valor. You can go ahead and kill Saul. God said you were going to be king anyway. He said, it is not for me to touch God's once elected. In other words, he said God put him in authority. Let God remove him. See, that's stewardship. In other words, what David said here is, I didn't hire him, so therefore I can't fire him. And what we go around doing is we go firing people that we didn't hire. Oh, Lord, help me. Hey, bad management, bad stewardship. We won't manage the stuff that God put in our hand, but we want to manage everybody else's business. That's where I'm going with that. Let's get back to the text. Let's go back to the text. Let's go back to the text. Amen. So, he says, railing for railing, contrary wrath blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called, that ye shall inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Stop going around talking against people and talking bad about people. If you're going to talk bad about something, talk bad about sin. Talk bad about the works of the devil. Talk bad about the thing that's misleading people away from God. Talk about that. Verse 11, let him eschew evil. That means you need to despise evil and do good. Let him speak peace. Uh-oh. Let him speak how? This is the Apostle Peter, chief apostle, the one that Jesus appointed to lead the 12. And they built the foundation, as they built upon the foundation of the church of Christ. God in Christ, if you would. So, he says to him, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. Let him seek what? Peace and assure. That means secure. That means make sure it happens. Amen, somebody. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord, of who? Of the Lord, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Verse 13, and who is he that will harm you? In other words, God said, now who can get around me to get to you? What bullet can go through my hand? What lie can outlast me? And who is he that will harm you if, ye be followers of that which is good? Who's good? God. How often is he good? All the time. So all the time, God is what? Good. So if I'm to be a follower of what is good, who am I following? God. Are you a follower of God? Oh, I know you got your Instagram and your Twitter and your Facebook and all this new whatever media site you're on, and you follow everybody. Matter of fact, some of y'all follow people every single day. You get a notification, and you stop, and you read that notification, but you only pick up your Bible when the preacher say, let us open our Bible to, and sometimes you forget to bring your Bible to church. And you sit back, and you just look at the screen, because your church got those screens up, and you see what they post up. Now, I told you what scripture to read with me. I hope you open up your personal Bible, whether it's electronic or physical paper, and read along with me as I was reading it together so that you know what I'm saying is not from my own lips only, but is my lips resounding what I'm reading. Verse 12, For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do what? Evil. And who, verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? In other words, nothing can happen to you unless God allow it. Whatever God does in my life is for my greatest good, and whatever happens in my life should be for God's greatest glory. That what means to live is Christ, to die is gain. Verse 14, but if ye suffer, that's the part we don't want to hear. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. I wish this scripture had a stronger testimony amongst current believers. Because when we suffer, we complain. We're not happy. When people are criticizing us for being traditional in our faith and going to church every week and fellowshipping, Bible study, reading our word, and they say, well, it don't take all that. You ain't got to go to church to serve the Lord. You ain't got to give tithes and offering. You ain't got to do this. God knows your heart. God knows where you at. Those are scoffers. Timothy warned us about them. Those are those that would mislead you from the faith. That's why Scripture said, you did one well, but who hindered you? Let me keep reading. Verse 14 says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't worry about nobody saying they're going to take your life. They're going to do this. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and just throw yourself in harm's way. That is not what the scripture is telling you. What it is telling you is why you're seeking after doing good, and good is doing what God said for you to do. You don't have to worry about anybody stopping you from doing what God told you to do, because if God told you to do it, he's going to see to it that you are able to accomplish that which he has declared for you to do. So, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. It did say the weapon wouldn't be formed, but it does say it will not prosper. It will not carry out its full intent. Because God is obligated to support what he has demanded of each one of us. Verse 15 is where I started, and is a key verse. But sanctify, that word sanctification, is the separation. It is that purification, that separation, that set aside, that to make holy, even to reverence, to, but sanctify the Lord God. He used the Lord, Yahweh, or Jehovah, excuse me, and he used God, which is Elohim, or some say Adonai right here. He used God's proper name in your heart. Do what? Because he's talking about the all-sufficient one. He made sure that he was clarified. We ain't talking about no idols. We talking about the one true God. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Alpha and Omega. And for those that read Revelation, the one who is and is to come, the one that was living and died and is alive again forevermore. Oh, that's that Trinity. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. See, you may not be a teacher, you may not be a preacher, you may not be none of those things, but you can be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I know there's a lot of preachers out there, or a lot of teachers, or whomever they want to call themselves, that preaches against women as the word preacher relates. But the word preacher is one that proclaims. It's amazing that we'll let her proclaim all the sales and we're going by, but we won't let her tell us that Jesus is. When the Bible tells the wife that if the unbelieving husband wants to stay with her, I mean, at some point they got married and they wasn't, neither one of them was with Christ, but she received Christ. If her husband wanted to stay with her, he says to her that her lifestyle will persuade him to come to Christ, so don't leave him. Her lifestyle. Her lifestyle is the living epistle. Her lifestyle is the example. It is the proclamation. Because what good is it that you hear me preach, but you never see me live what I preach? And that's a lot of times that will happen. We hear great evangelism all across the television, but what their lifestyle really like? So the woman at the well, when she encountered Christ, she went and proclaimed to the men in the city, come, see, or hear a man that told me everything I did. Is this not who we've been looking for? Is this not him, the Messiah? Remember, Messiah is the anointed one. The Greek word is Christos or Christ. So here, she goes and tells a city of men, come hear the message. Come hear for yourself. I ain't qualified to preach to you or to teach you other than what's been taught. But from my personal experience, here's one that meets the criteria. Now I need y'all to verify it. And they did. And they said, we believe not because of what you said. So she told them some stuff. But now that we have heard him for ourselves, we also believe. See, you and I can do what she did today. You know what she did?
You know what?
She introduced them to the book. Jesus was the living word. Yeshua is the word. The word Yeshua, his name. He is the living word. She introduced them to the word. And when they heard the word for themselves, they too now believe. Not believe just in him, but they believe in him who was sent, that he met the criteria of the prophecies that said who he would be and how he would come. And they believed. So she gave an answer. Her answer was, hey, y'all, is that him?
How hard is it to say, hey, come go to church with me? How hard is it to say, hey, would you like to have Bible study with me? Verse 16, 17, and 18. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Let people talk about you being righteous. Let people talk about you trying to live a holy life separate from them. Just because you don't drink and cuss no more, you don't do all the stuff that you used to do no more, that speaks of the conversion. Because I told y'all, grace is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Grace gives you permission to repent as many times as needed, as long as life is in you. There's a teaching about grace that's wrong. I don't have time to teach that right now, but it's coming up. And it's wrong because the Bible don't support it. I'm going to say what God's word has said, and it's up to you, me, and anyone else that read the word to live thereby. Whether we agree with it, whether we understand it, if God said it, that settles it. And I know that may seem like a big pill, but guess what? Go on, swallow it. It's going to help you. One thing about medicine, a lot of times, we don't want to swallow the medicine. Boy, I remember growing up, we used to have to get that castor oil. They used to give us that castor oil all the time. If it was raining, we got caught in the rain. Come get this castor oil. Amen. You were eating too many sweets. Come get this castor oil. And what that castor oil did, in short, it worked the stuff that we put in us out of us. And there's some things that this world has put in us that God's word wants to get out of us. Amen, somebody. So go on and swallow it. If it's in the word, take it for what it says. And so verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they see evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sin. Him that knew no sin, him that didn't sin, became sin that you and I can be born again, so that you and I can have access to the Father, so that you and I can have the debt that we could not pay, paid for. For Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us, he might do what? Listen to these words, that he might. So it's not automatically. You know, I know a lot of times, well, I believe in Jesus. Okay. Let me park right here. I need you to listen real good. All of us know what a chair is, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of us understand an armchair, you know. Different from a stool. A stool, you know, you can go and sit down on a stool and you know, you got to hold your posture upright. You know, you still got to do certain things. That's a stool. You know, a bar stool or a little table stool, a sitting stool, a kneeling stool, whatever kind of stool. A stool has no backing. It's just a little flat top that elevates you off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's religion. Uh-huh. But a chair. A chair, good chair. Most good chairs will have an armrest to it, you know. And it had a back support to it. So when you sit all the way in the chair, all the way, somebody say all the way. When you sit
all the way in the chair.
Your back is now supported. Amen. Amen. You can put your arm on the armrest, and you can lean back. And as you lean your head back, your head is supported by the back part of that chair. See, that's a good chair. That's a real good chair that brings you some good support. All of us understand that. And most of us that have a good chair at the house, at no time do we ask the chair, "Chair, do you mind today if I sit on you?" At no time do we begin to, I want to challenge you on this. You might, I don't. I sit in my sofa, and my wife can testify to it. There's a spot on our sofa. I got one of those sectional sofa. And we got company, and I come in the house, and somebody's sitting in my spot. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Can I just be 100? If you're sitting in my spot, you're going to have to get up and move. Every now and then, my youngest son, he loves when he comes to the house, he loves getting in my spot. Every now and then, my wife might kind of sit in it, but she's like, "Nah, I ain't comfortable there," and she'll move to the curb. Amen. And she'll stay in the curb, and she may lean over on the other side a little bit, until I go to pushing her, and then then we start that heated fellowship, but we love one another. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But there's a spot. Amen. 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 Comfortable, but at no time. I believe she's on the line. She can testify. At no time since we bought the furniture have we ever gone and checked out the legs of the sofa and to see whether or not they was broken, or we didn't examine the legs. We know that the legs had a function. And we know that the sofa itself or the chair itself have a function. And we don't ask the cushions in the chair, "Is it okay today to sit on you?" No. We don't do none of that. We know without a shadow of a doubt that the very design nature of a chair was to give me rest. Whew. Y'all don't even understand the revelation. The purpose and design of the chair was to give me complete rest. I can't tell you how many times I fell asleep sitting in the chair rather than laying down in the bed. Y'all ain't going to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You do it, too. You come home from work, especially those that work. You come home from work, you kick your shoes out, and you sit in your spot. Your chair is designed to give you
right now.
Rest.
It brings
you comfort. Yeah. But can I just remind somebody the words of Christ? He says, "If I abide in you and you abide in me." Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If I abide where? In me. Wait a minute, preacher. Scripture's like, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Sit on me. Cast your care upon me." Woo! Glory. The chair. But guess what? Me and you can be standing like, "I'm saving, you not yet accepted salvation." And I can point to you salvation. And pointing to Jesus, you and I, we'll point people to the cross. We ain't taking nothing from the cross. Glory. We ain't taking nothing from Christ. But when we talk about the relationship, we tell them, "Do you believe
That's a chair. And the Bible says that you say you believe in Christ. Well, the devil, they believe in Christ also and tremble. The difference is the devils are still condemned. Even though they believe in them, a lot of people that believe in Christ, but they're not in Christ. They ain't with Christ. They're not relying on Christ. They haven't learned to rest on Christ. They won't sit in Christ. They won't cast their cares upon Him. They look for other things. And so I can tell you, see that chair? You can say, yeah. See them armrests? You can say, yeah. See how that thing reclines and it'll hold your feet up? You can say, yeah. Do you believe that it can support you? And you can say, yeah. And if I ask you, but what are you doing right now? Is the chair supporting you now? You'll say no. You'll say no because you're still standing on your own. You're tired. You're lonely. You're broken. And you need rest. And I'm here to tell somebody today that you ain't got to keep looking at Christ from afar off. You can make a conscious decision within your one self to know that He died and paid the cost for sin for you and I. It is in Him that we gain strength. It is in Him and through Him that we are able to just recline. We can rest. We can rest and don't have to worry about our eternal soul. We don't have to worry about burning in the devil's hell. We don't have to worry about the care of this world because when we rely on Him, He supports us. And He does it without the help of anything else. And the difference in that conversation is, I don't care how many times that person tells me they're tired, they need to rest. I don't care how many times that person sits on the ground and still is uncomfortable. I don't care if they go and get on a stool and they're still uncomfortable until they find the chair and rely on it. They can never have the salvation that it brings. And that's how we must learn to get people to understand who Christ really is. It's not in my affirmation. It is in His person by having a relationship with Him and understanding He was designed just for you and I to be connected to the Father once again. Jesus said He didn't come to destroy life.
Mm-hmm.
He came to give it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who you are and who may be listening, but if you're tired of struggling, if you're tired of listening to this message and being encouraged by that message and that message, but you haven't trust in Jesus as being that final chair, the one that's going to give you true rest, then you're going to be stuck in your pain. And your release moments are only going to be temporary until you learn to accept Him for who He is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man, none, not one, goes to the Father except by Him. And no one
can come to him unless the Holy Spirit draws him. Because I can give you all the information, but until the Holy Spirit bears witness with you to know that this is the final stop you'll ever have to make, I can show you the historical Jesus. But until you come and put your full trust, that's your whole weight, your body. You can talk about how much you trust the chair. All you, the true trust in the chair is when you go and just sit down. I mean, you think about how some people come into buildings and different things. They never ask the chair, can you support my weight? Sometimes people fall in chairs, and when they fall in the chair slides backwards because of their weight so heavy. But the chair still supports them. I'm here to tell somebody today, I don't care whether you are overweight, super obese, I don't care what your sins are in this world, you can cast all of them on him. And just like the four corners on that chair, there are four Gospels you can read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can read that, and it'll tell you all about him. I hope somebody's encouraged today to know that better days are coming. There's some times I come home from work, regardless whether I'm outside or at that job, and all I want to do is sit in my chair. My wife will tell you, she'll tell you, don't bring no problems to me. I don't want none of that. Yeah, I know the bills are due. Yeah, I know that's due. I know that needs to be done. But right now, I just want to sit in the chair. Today I'm inviting somebody to come sit in Jesus. Oh, glory. Today I want you to just come and cast your cares upon Christ. For he alone is able to carry all of your burden. It'll never be too much for him. Because he's able not just to carry all of your burdens, but guess what he's doing right now? He's carrying my burdens too. And he's carrying my neighbor's burden. And he's carrying my brother's burden and my sister's burden. My mama's burden, my father's burden. He's carrying all of our burdens because his compassion towards us, he was able to do what we could not do. And that was to live life without sinning. But he did it just so that we can cast all of our care upon him, because he cares for us. There's so much more I can add to this message, but I think this is a good stopping point, because I really want to share with you how even when Moses was faced with that, can you imagine? He even gave God all these excuses about him not being eloquent in speech. And that's how we have to understand. Now, Moses is credited for giving up the first five books of the Bible. But we didn't read that until Exodus. So Genesis, so he had, after all of that was said and done, he went back and had somebody to help him write all of this. Because remember, he wasn't eloquent in speech. So stop trying to make Moses so currently politically or literally correct in all his language. Take him for what he said. In the beginning, God, Elohim. He didn't start testifying about Egypt, them being on the other side of the Red Sea. He went back and gave us the story from the beginning and walked us through up until where he was, because it wasn't about him. It was far greater. And when we understand that this journey, this Christian journey, this earthly experience that we experience is not about us, but it's about him who made us and gave us dominion. See, what makes me a manager is the person that runs the business, that owns the business, gave authority for there to be a manager and put my name behind that title. And now my job is to let my name live up to the title. There's a lot of us that got titles, but are you living up to the title? If I got to ask my doctor what my blood pressure level should be, and he's a medical doctor, he said, wait a minute, I got to go open the book. I don't want that doctor. Because there's some things that are basic that if you say you are, you should already know. And if you don't know, we ain't mad at you. Just go and learn. It's simple. We ain't mad at the title. You may be a brand new manager. Learn how to manage. You may be a brand new steward. Learn how to represent who you are representing. I love you with the love of Christ. May God keep you. May he bless you. And if you're not saved today, you don't have to. It's not a shame to be a sinner, but it is a shame to remain one when you know you can be free. So make the choice today to choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God bless you. I now release the microphone back into the hands of those in charge. I don't even know what time it is. I done went over my time. Forgive me. I apologize for going over the time, but I do not apologize for what I gave you in the time, because I know I gave you what was given to me, and I pray that you receive it as for what it is, a message of love. Amen. Once again, my title was, How Do You Answer People? Amen. How do you answer people about God? Amen. God bless you. I love you.
Amen. Pastor Bonnet, that was a good message. And speaking of special chairs, there's one in my house. Probably you guys wouldn't like it too much because it's a little stiffer than most, but it's my special chair. Y'all stay out of my chair. It's one of those old rocket chairs that had the wooden back and everything. It's got the arms and everything, but that's my special chair.
Yes, sir. Like some old pair of shoes, Doc. You ain't getting rid of nothing. They fit.
Yeah, but that's even Ruthie knows that's my chair. You stay out of my chair. Emily, she comes over to visit, she knows that's my chair.
That's it.
All my friends know that's Kenny's chair. Don't mess with that chair.
Well, great message. And I've said this to you several times. You have all the time you need. We have 3 hours, so you're never over time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Would anyone else like to speak at this time?
Amen. Any takeaways?
Okay. Right? Amen. Good evening. Good noon. Good evening to God. Be the glory and honor to our Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm so elegantly blessed today with a message. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. And one thing for sure that my takeaway is that we must do the will of God. We got to do the will of God. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. And if we leaning, you know, leaning wrong, you know, we definitely got to ask the Lord, Lord, prop me up. Amen. I heard Pastor Bunny talk about his special chair, and everybody has a special chair. I have a special chair, a recliner, you know, and,
yes,
and I have the arms on it. Amen. That rests your arm, the arm rest. But I have a big boy chair. I have a big boy chair, and
yeah.
My chair, amen. The two people can sit in it at the same time, and I'm 5'4", so my chair comes, my feet still hangs off of my chair when I finally get up in it, you know, and stuff. But I give God the glory, amen. To God be the glory for that message today from the messenger. It was a right now message, amen, for right now believers, amen, that we must trust the Lord with our whole heart and lean not to our own understanding. It's about him. It's about Christ Jesus. It's not about what somebody else says about you. It's what your belief is and what you are doing. So I give God the glory. I give God the praise like no other. We cannot do anything by ourselves. We can't make it on our own without Christ Jesus. If you think you can do it on your own, you got another thought coming. Amen. It's all about Christ Jesus. And what are we doing for the kingdom of God? Amen. To God be the glory. How are we living? Amen. To God be the glory. And how are we working in the kingdom of God? The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Amen. So there's much room for each and every one of us if you want to work in the kingdom of God, all willing workers. You got to be willing to want to do it. Nobody can make you do it. Amen. Nobody can make you feel like you have missed your blessing. Amen. Because the blesser, I'm so glad the blesser reads off the table of our hearts. Amen. I'm so glad he don't look at what we look like. Amen. But he goes down on the inside of who you are, the heart. So we must have love for the people of God. We must have love for each other. Amen. To God be the glory. And I'm grateful, Pastor Bonnie, you just blessed my sanctified soul today. Amen. To God be the glory. I can eat at the table all day, you know, filet mignon and oxtail and rice. Amen. And cabbage greens and sweet potato yams and some cornbread. Crackling cornbread and a big old glass of iced tea with a lemon on the side of it. I'm grateful for that. God's word is good, good, good. Amen. To God be the glory. And I don't know what your taste bud is like today, but I thank you, Pastor Bonnie.
Thank you.
You gave me something. You gave me something. You educated me. Amen. Because on this journey is a tedious journey. On this journey is a learning journey, and we can learn, and we are stewards, amen, willing to be teachable. I'm so grateful for the message today. Keep doing the message. Keep spreading God's message, because this time that we're in now, we're in perilous time. It ain't no time to play. Yeah. It's time to come off the playground. Amen to God, because recess is over with. Recess is over with. It's time that you come into the ark of safety and get busy for the kingdom of God. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Bonnie. God bless 6 Eyes Radio Network, gospel, inspirational message and words. Amen. From on high. Amen. Well, we run and tell everything else. We can run and tell what they said and they says and he says and she says. So run and tell somebody about the word of God. One is spread the good news, amen, that Jesus is passing through, and he's passing out a blessing. He's healing, and he's delivering too. Run and tell that. You run and tell everything else. Run and tell that. Amen. To God.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Pastor Bonnie, because I'm like you. I've been went over time and all over yonder and everywhere, but I thank God Almighty for the message today. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah.
The truth of it is, Evangelist Clayton, Prophetess,
yes,
I wasn't even done with the message.
I know.
I just went on ahead and stopped. the Lord had to let me know I was gone. I didn't know what time it was.
Yeah.
And to me, it really felt like I had just started. Now, I don't know how. So I think y'all gave it to me at 35 or 40 minutes after the hour. So that means I've been talking for over an hour and 20 minutes or more. It ain't seem like it.
Yeah,
it ain't seem like it. I guess I am one of them long-winded preachers. Amen. Hopefully I wasn't a dry preacher. Hopefully I gave you the living water. Amen.
Living
that I was
water.
Wet preacher. Amen.
Praise
amen.
God. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Anybody else? Thank you, Evangelist Clayton. Amen.
Yes, sir. Always good to hear you, Pastor Bond. It's always good that I could sit, you know, and it's just good sometimes where you could just sit down and be a listener. Be a listener.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to run your mouth. You could not be a listener. And that's how
Amen.
We comprehend, and that's how we learn. Amen.
Amen.
Because when we talk, and the word talks about being a talker all the time, a talker. Proverbs 13 lets us know, shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
That's right. In order that we know him, we got to be a listener. You know, even Jesus got mad because they were mumbling and grumbling about everything. Everything to mumble about. Sit down and listen. You'll learn something.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen. Amen.
Hello?
God bless.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Yes. Praise God. My name is Cindy Lockley, and I'm out of Tallahassee, Florida. My husband's here, Leslie Lockley, and I will say I really enjoyed the word. You made it plain and simple. And you're right. You know, we got to accept God for who he is, and we got to learn how to represent, you know, who we are representing. And I thank God that we can cast all our cares and on him and know that better days are coming.
He alone
is able to carry all our burdens, no matter what they is, because of his love
thank
for
you.
Us. And, Pastor, I'm thankful for your teaching of God's word. Your preaching is just like a slow gospel drip that God has used to saturate my heart with a greater love for God. So on this day, I ask that God give you more grace and upon your life and upon your expectations, beyond your expectations. And may the Lord bless you always, Pastor. I enjoyed the word and have a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You,
man.
Thank you.
Hello. Okay.
Hey, Lady
Bonnie. Hi, everyone. God bless everyone today. I just praise God today. Give God the glory for who he's the head of my life. Enjoy the word today. Enjoy hearing everyone today. We had an awesome time in the Lord and all services today. We went to two services, and this is our third service. With Pastor Bonnet, but God has been good through the word that he has just delivered, what God has given him today. I took some notes and everything, and when he was saying better days are coming.
Yeah,
we was man do it for a night, but joy will come in the morning.
I thought later,
yes. And he said, when we speak blessings over people,
That's right.
You speak towards people, you speak goodness and blessings over them. And I also learned when he said Yahshua, the name of Jesus, the living word.
The living word.
And when we with the living word. So God is the living word. Jesus is the living word. He the way, the truth, and the life. And then also, God is so good, and he said that we can rely on Jesus, and he's going to support us.
Amen.
And also, I want to go back when he was talking about the castor oil. You could be sick and everything, but God, but our parents used to give us some castor oil to work that cold out, work whatever out. But you know what will work it out? Jesus will work it out.
Jesus will work it out.
He'll work all of it out. Yes, he'll work it out. All we have to do is call on the Lord, and he'll work it out.
He'll work it out.
Yes, God, Jesus will work it out. And
yes,
also, this is a little funny tidbit. I know when my mom told me it was six of them in the family. My mom said that her mom and her dad used to line them all up in one line and get that big old spoon, that you know, that cooking spoon.
Yes,
and
sir.
Give them all with the same spoon. But she
that's
said
right.
that castor oil worked everything out of them.
Work
so,
it out.
But Jesus will work it out, though.
Work it out.
God is good.
God,
so I enjoyed the message through what Pastor Bonnie has given us, what the word that thus says the Lord, and what God has given him today to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ across this world through the Sister Eyes Ministry. I just thank God for Sister Eyes Ministry broadcast. You know, it's just a blessing. It's a blessing to hear from everyone. I just love this broadcast. I just love to hear everyone on the broadcast and what God has given you all today. So God bless everyone, and I definitely and I truly love you all. God bless everyone.
Amen.
I thank the Lord, and I bless God for what he's doing today. Now I've enjoyed the words, and I bless the man of God for speaking the word and teaching the word the way he do. And I encourage him to keep on teaching, because it's a blessing and it's inspiration to many of us.
Yes, it is.
And that God is using him in a mighty way. So be encouraged and keep on doing what you're doing.
Amen. To the gentleman that just spoke, I just lift up your hands right now. Oh, God, my shape will seek it. I shall worship, but it is the glory.
Yes,
I speak
God.
Life, Victor. I speak life, glory. I speak
on,
life. And your worship, I speak life.
Come on,
I speak life to you, glory to God. You shall live, glory to God. Yes. Amen. I feel that sometimes we get to a point where we ask, what else can I contribute?
Come on,
but
come
I
on,
remind you, oh, I shake
yes,
it off.
Lord.
I want to remind you, Moses was 80. That's old. Glory to God. Abraham, he was 99 when
come
he
on,
conceived. 100 when he gave birth, when the birth of the promise came. There's more in store for you.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
You have no idea who's
listening.
Come on,
come on.
It's all that I see. Hey, you have no idea.
Come on, confirmation. Come on, here.
Life. Oh, God. Help us.
Come on,
Pastor
Biden.
We get to examine ourselves, and we don't need to understand what or who we comparing ourselves to.
Come on, here. Come on,
said, I purpose place you where you can be seen more so than you can be heard. But the season is changing. Go. Glory to God. And they go, when questions come, you're going to ask, this is what I can do now.
That's
this
right.
is how you hold on now. Because nobody needs to understand what it is to be at this point and still trusting God in 2024.
Come on, come on,
Pastor. Come on, Pastor. Trying to tell us, it don't take all of that. But I hear the word of the Lord saying, you're going to be able to say, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie. I found God over here, and I see God here, and I see God to open my eyes to new horizons, things that I didn't understand. I heard myself speaking to new life.
That's new life.
I speak life. I don't know you.
Come
but
on.
God I serve knows you.
No. Come on. Yeah. That's confirmation.
And all I want you to have in your spirit is what the prophet told Samuel. Hear your name. Say, yes, Lord. Here am I, your servant, to do your will according to your word.
Come on, man.
Give God a fresh yes in this new season.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Keep saying yes again.
Yes, Lord.
It don't
thank
matter
you,
what it was last year.
Come on, help.
It's
all
said a brand new season, a brand new day.
Confirmation.
God is thank working you, something for you.
Yes,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I'm going to leave it alone because my gift will tap on everybody on the phone. So I'm going to leave
help.
It alone. So I can
Come on, have your way, God.
Have your way,
God.
Why don't
thank
you tell them? I'm talking to the right person. That's all I want.
Talking to the right person.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
But
thank
all
you,
that
Lord.
Taking place is confirmation.
That's it, confirmation.
He ain't done with you. He ain't done with you.
Have your way, Lord.
Thank you, God. Amen. Anybody else that got a takeaway, glory to God. Anybody else that got a takeaway or have something to say on the word today, come on with it. Come on with it. Anybody else. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, my takeaway, and hello to the Lockleys. My takeaway is just getting out the way. Everything I thought I learned, forget and let God be the navigator. That's my takeaway.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Okay. I wanted to... Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say I definitely learned more. You spoke on some stuff that I already knew, but I definitely appreciated you breaking down things and continuing to bless others as well as speaking a blessing over their lives. Sometimes even when people anger us, instead of being angry, say, God bless you.
Amen.
And continue to move forward. If there's something you don't know, seek that knowledge.
Amen.
Seek that knowledge.
And
turn to God.
Amen.
Understanding, that's part of our servanthood, because we're going to run into people with different personalities, and sometimes it's how you handle it. And like I said, we can't get into our feelings. We have to focus on our mission for God.
Amen.
I think we're all guilty of that at some point in our lives.
Yes,
so,
bro.
You know, it's about being focused on his word and knowing that he has our backs.
Yes.
He wants us to cast our issues onto him, our burdens onto him.
Yes.
And so we have to understand that and focus on it and, you know, think, at least for me, I try to make sure I get up. And I'm saying try because sometimes I get up and I'll be in pain and I forget to give that time to meditate, take that time to meditate at that moment, starting my day out. And I'll get to it sometime during the day, but there are times when I forget to start my day. I'm not going to say forget. My mind is just focused on that pain trying to get up.
Yes,
but I'm thankful that he allows me to wake up.
Amen.
Yes.
So, amen.
So, you know, being thankful for what the blessings we are blessed with.
Yes.
And if, I feel like this, if you can look up, then you can get up.
That's right.
That, you know, at least you woke up.
Yes.
So I'm thankful. And with that, I'm thankful for Pastor Bonnet and you continuing to bring us the word. I thank thankful for the blessings he has over you and your family and the fact that you continue to educate us. I'm thankful for your mission and your dedication and your focus on the word. And you're definitely someone we can look up to as far as focusing on the mission.
Amen.
So I'm thankful. And with that, I'm complete.
Amen.
Amen.
And your little cousin Queen, your little Saint Queen, it's not easy.
It's not. I know.
Because there's been many times I wanted to quit. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me.
I know what you mean.
I'm gonna go do something else. God tells you to do something.
Right.
It ain't about what you want to do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All of us stands at that door of God saying, walk through, and we said, do I have to?
Amen. Amen.
Because when you walk through the door, you got to be ready to work.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And many times we don't want to work. The flesh don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to ask our question. We got to ask the question, who are we working for? If you say, I ain't working for nobody, I'm retired, then what you're saying is, I'm ready to die. That's what you're saying. When you no longer want to work at all.
That's it.
Okay.
What are you saying? And we don't understand the implication of that. And that's the only way the believer can be defeated.
That's right. I know that.
If he make the decision, I ain't working today. But if you want to make the devil mad and in a frenzy of cussing, get up and say, I'm doing what God told me today. I don't care who's going to like
it. Amen.
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 Yes, Lord.
And thank God for giving you the strength to get up again.
Yes, keep
going.
Y'all know I be talking about food all the time. My wife and my sister are telling you, I ain't ate at all today yet.
Ooh.
And I'd have been up all night. I mean all night.
Thank you, Jesus. Look at you,
but
God.
That's what it means.
That's
Jeremiah said, is life fire?
Get up in my bones. Yes, Lord.
When it's in you, it can't wait to get out of you.
It can't wait to get out. That's it.
And like the God said, give me you, Lord.
Give me you.
Gotta wait. and still more. Glory.
Glory.
Every now and then,
thank
the
you, God.
Food that we need is
yes,
wrapped
God.
Up, tied up, tangled up in the Word of God.
That's right, God. That's right, Lord.
Now,
thank
I'm
you.
Telling you, because I was a little upset. Time ran short. I couldn't stop and get my fish. And my cook would tell you, every Sunday, I stopped getting my fish.
I know it, Pastor. They
gave me food from the first service. I ain't ate it. None of it. All I had was some coffee. Thank God for the coffee.
Thank God. Thank you. Okay, I know it, Pastor.
They got cake in there for me. What? I ain't had no cake. I would have been ate some of that cake.
Some homemade soup.
Come on.
I tell you.
Ooh, wouldn't
you? I know what's happening.
God, I thank you. God, I thank you.
Thank you,
God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I know we got the bloodhound of scripture coming up. Amen. But man, every now and then we got to just stop and reflect on the Word of God.
Thank you, God.
How powerful it is in our life when we apply the Word of God to our lives, for our lives.
Here, have you.
God will. God, you don't know who you touch in this world.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
What, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Jonah.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, had an attitude problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But his circumstance made him obey God. His circumstance. His circumstance
that's
made
right.
him obey God.
Made
yeah,
him obey.
Because he was in the middle of the sea drowning. he had to go in and sometimes life will put us. We feel like we're in the middle of the sea drowning, and we'll obey God because we feel like the waves are crushing in on us.
Yes.
Yeah. Jonah went with unbelief.
Yes.
And ministered to a city, belief. And they believe everything he said. And because they believe, they didn't believe in hearing only, because this is what a believer
that's
is.
That's right.
Believer is the one that went and sat in the chair. You heard there was a chair, and you went and sat in the chair. That's what a real believer is. One that utilized what was designed for them. They heard the word that God was angry and was going to take the city from them because of their living.
Right.
They began to repent so much till it got to the king. And the king declared, not even the livestock's going to eat now. We all
right.
going to repent
and
right. seek the face of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. When the word of God is ministered and the people truly believe, they receive it.
Right. That's right.
He got an attitude because God decided to bless them because they heard the truth and believed it.
Right.
They grabbed hold of it. Don't you get mad at nobody once you done told them that they can be saved and then they life changed and you still want to call them what the devil used to call them. See, that's the same. That's why when y'all hear me talking about them three Hebrew roars, I say Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I don't call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because that's what they pagan name. That's what the devil called them. Stop calling people what the devil done said. Stop saying what God said. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their name. Glory to God. That's what it is to pronounce a blessing. Call them who God called them now.
That's right.
My name ain't Sarah.
That's it.
The only game I'm playing now is that game called Skip Bo on my tablet. Card game, solitaire.
That's it. We for real about this thing. God is real. He's changing lives for real. And the way lives change for real.
Yes, sir.
You need to think about this, sisters, to all the women ever picked up the phone and called your girlfriend, your sister, your mama about any sale that you ran across. When you saved that money, they couldn't shut you up. They didn't pay you one dime, but you advertised them to everybody else gathering on that sale, didn't you? Everybody that was in your reach, you made sure that they got a piece of that sale. Child, you know, they got 2-for-1 over here. Oh, they buy one, get 2 free. We'll walk me through that. You buy two, you buy one, you'll get 2 free on your glasses. I'll be looking for it all the time when it pop up. That's amazing how the world don't have to make us advertise, but we'll do it.
Advertise Jesus.
But God, they tell you advertise God. Well, I ain't trying to stir up nothing. I don't want to upset nobody. What? Now, please help me save $100. Please help me save some money so I can put more grocery in the house. Please help me. Somebody helping me with a light. Please let me know that connection. Please let me know. So that's the same way it feels about salvation.
That's right.
The world is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Believers are still suffering needlessly.
Yeah.
I'm saying believers now. Believers.
Believers.
Remember, Moses was sent to the children of Israel, believers, who were suffering and didn't have to suffer. They were suffering because they had bought into a system called Egypt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I told you I had to hush, because I've been started all back over. Let me hush. Anybody else mention that, kid? You better come on with that bloodhound of scripture. I've been a talk for another hour.
Amen. Well, I was waiting on you guys. All right, so let's see if your guys' sniffers are intact and ready for this week with the one that you were supposed to find, and here it is.
The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
And you notice it says of the word of God, the words of the Lord are pure words, pure words. And we'll hear that verse once again.
The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
Wow. Now, how
like
pure
that.
Is
like
the words
that.
Of God? Not only pure as they were just written, but pure as silver tried in the furnace of earth, not one time, not 2 times, not 3 times, but you notice God says of his word, purified 7 times, the number of completion. So
Amen.
Those who say, well, this word in the Bible should have been translated better this, excuse me, pal, but my Bible tells me they're purified 7 times. Don't be messing with God's word, because even Jesus said every jot and every tittle, that means every comma, every period, was put right where God meant it to be. So don't be messing with God's word. He told us not to add or subtract. Amen. So we'll hear that verse one last time for our listeners' sake.
The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
All right.
Okay,
who thinks
they know where it's at?
Evangelist Clayton.
Go ahead.
Go right here.
Psalms chapter 12, verse 6.
Amen.
And that is right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good job.
All right. And speaking of that, when Pastor Bonnet was talking about, like, Yeshua,
yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. As we know, that's the name for Jesus. But do you know the other meaning of Yeshua in the Greek word Yeshua? Do you know the other English meaning? In Hebrew? If you've been listening on Wednesday nights for Tim's Hebrew Word of the Week, he explains the other, and he's taken Hebrew because he's over there in Israel. He's a missionary to Israel. The other meaning in Hebrew for Yeshua is salvation. That's how you say salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua.
Much like saying, are you sure? You sure? Are you sure? Salvation. You sure? Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? You sure? You sure? Are you saved? Are you going to have life after death? Are you sure?
You sure? Wow.
Yes, sir. That's one way
amen.
I remember it a long time ago.
So, amen. All right, so the verse, our bloodhound for next week that y'all have to sniff out by next week, here it is.
To replay your message, press 1.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Now if we only knew who was bearing this record, we'd have an idea where it's found. And we'll hear that once again.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
And they saw and bear record that this was the Son of God. So we'll hear this one more time for our listeners' sake.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
And that's what you gotta sniff out by next week. And the best part is they bear record and said this is present tense. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I truly enjoyed you all today.
Amen.
Bless you all as well.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Bonnet.
Ma'am. Oh, tune in tomorrow night for the lesson will be on Jesus cleansed the temple.
Jesus
cleanses the temple.
Cleanses. Okay.
Yeah, cleanses. CLEANSES. Cleanses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to those of you that want to read, if you want to read, your background scripture will be Isaiah 56. You can read verses 6 and 7 or up to verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, and you can just read up to verse 11. And then Mark 11, verses 15 to 19, and you can just read up to 19. And those will be Jesus cleanses the temple. And
We'll get into that Sunday school lesson. Amen. Remember, if you don't know the Bible, you need Sunday school. And if you know the Bible, Sunday school needs you.
Amen.
Sunday school is a participation program. Amen. Where we can ask questions and give responses, you know.
Okay.
Let's learn how to share. The Bible tells us to encourage one another in our most holy faith.
That's right.
And so we do these things, not that one person have all the answers, but that collectively we can see the better picture of what God is revealing to us. And so we come together and we discuss these things. And so those that are able, join us tomorrow. I try to make it on Monday. I try to make it about an hour, 15 minutes, not that very long, and give some questioning and no longer than 1.5 hours. But I have to be purposeful on that time. So about 1 hour, 15 minutes, and as we just go through the text and look at it historically, look at it biblically, and as we learn again, apologetics are not saying you're sorry for the faith, but it is you learning how to explain the faith and how to apply it. And what the body of Christ needs more is for us to be able to do that. Because it's not a problem with people believing that that Jesus was once existed. That's not the problem that they have. Matter of fact, I see a lot of sinners who got more faith in God and Jesus than some Christians.
Come on,
and they be cussing and they be talking what they talking, and they'll say, well, God will make a way. I believe Jesus loves us, you know, he gon, and they'll talk more about trusting God than some believers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's our job to speak it correctly, to teach it correctly. And a lot of times we teach from the understanding that we have, and that's fine. You teach where you at, but don't stay where you at. Continue to learn and grow so that you can teach better, so that you can help better. There's a whole lot that I was teaching once, and I went back, and God was revealing stuff to me about stuff that I've already taught. And not that I taught it so wrong, but I left out so much. And so, because a lot of times we're so anxious to show people how much we know that we don't take time and to dig in to some stuff. You know, a person that learned how to cook, I heard Evangelist Clayton say some neck bones. Man, listen, once you get a good recipe for some neck bones, you don't let nobody come in to change you. Ain't nobody, well, I can do mine faster. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. No, I'm going to take my time. Why? Because taking my time is what got this to be like it is. And see, you listen to the New Age Christians, and they tell myself, well, you ain't got to, it don't take all that. Yes, it do. If you want this taste, if you want this result, this is what it takes. Whether you understand it or believe it or not, that is not, that's what it takes to get this. Why my cake is still moist and yours dry? Because you think you didn't want to go through this process. You didn't want to take the time. Mm-hmm. Why my banana pudding tastes creamy and good and you about to sin because of gluttony? Because I done took, it took time. They put this on a double boiler and made that pudding. Mm-hmm. You say, well, you can just get the instant. Nah, they don't taste the same. Well, just add a little bit more. Nah, they don't taste the same.
I'm sorry, y'all. I done got in the food. I must be getting hungry. But anyway. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Look.
Forgot about the oxtail. I guarantee you. I don't care how hungry Six Eyes is. Six. I don't care how hungry he is. When he comes downstairs, he can say he hungry all he wants to. If she's still cooking, guess what he's gonna have to do? Wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Come on, we want God. Move now, Lord. Lord say, wait.
Amen.
Jesus, help today,
Lord.
Bless
your heart.
And the church said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So
man, I love
God y'all. This preacher done. I'm done. I need to go and find something to eat. Well, I got something to eat. I need to go and warm my food up.
Please, because I'm like, when I said Pastor Bonnie earlier, I meant for you to go eat because I know you hungry.
And speaking of food, that's like he was talking about how sometimes a recipe or whatever takes longer. That's like what
that's
I started making in the Wolfgang kitchen today. Ruth has got to wait on it because it takes a couple hours to do this one. We're making sloppy joes today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good sloppy joe. That meat got to marinate a little bit. You just don't throw no tomato and mix it up and think it's going to have all the seasoning in every little bite. It might be all right if you're hungry and you're ready to eat right now. But let it sit a little bit longer. Let it cook a little bit longer. And
Now we're talking. That's what I'm saying. This has been already on the stove for at least an hour or so, and it's still got to go a while yet to go.
Yeah, you tell your tongue. Yeah.
And I know Ruth's sitting there sniffing it. She's like, "Well, hurry it up!" And I'm like, "You got to wait."
Yeah. Some food. You gotta wait on it. Wait till it's ready.
Yeah, we're getting six hungry now.
It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. Yes, Lord. That's for y'all single women. Wait on God to send you the man you need.
Crock pot cooking.
Yeah, because God working on him. Don't. If you get him before God finished with him, you ain't going to like him. You're going to throw him back. Wait on him. You know, a good fisherman know how to wait. Just wait. Stop throwing it out there and wheeling it back and throwing it. Now, stop that. Wait.
Don't play with it. Don't play with it.
Wait,
you gotta cook it with love.
That's right. That's right. Amen. And be intentional. Amen. We have to be intentional. Amen. When you're intentional about certain things, you make sure to do it right. Amen. A lot of this generation, they do more looking at this clock than doing the work. As you start looking at the work, the clock will take care of itself.
May I make a correction to that? They look more at their cell phones than they do the clock. Not the work.
Yeah, they be watching the clock. It take all day. When the hour come out, you ain't did no work. You spend 80% of the day doing 20% of your work and then try to take the last 20% of the day to do 80% of your work. Come on. And wonder why you didn't get the promotion. Lord, help today.
And it's sad that you have to tell your employee to put away their cell phones or lock it up while they're at work. That's sad.
Yeah. Oh, nowadays they wear them on the job. They got their earpiece in. They playing the music right there. You trying to talk to them. You can't even talk to some of the cashiers now because they playing their music right there. They ain't got it in their ear so they can hear it by itself. And then you got the audacity to got both ears in there. So I know you ain't hearing me. It's one thing if you had it just in one ear, but you got both of them. Nah, you ain't hearing nothing.
Uh-uh.
And I know it because I done said it to you three
times.
They
allow them to do that.
Yeah, they do.
They tired of trying to hire people, because folks don't stay at jobs. Folks ain't trying to work now.
Their
sense of entitlement. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day.
Yeah.
Now, by the grace of God and the union of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide with each one of us here now and forever. May we continue to have traveling mercy. May our rest be peaceful. May our sleep be refreshing. May the things that we do be pleasing in his sight. Until the next time, the appointed time where we come together and fellowship one with another, we tell God thank you, and may God keep you. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen. Amen. Go and be blessed of the Lord. Remember, as you go out to get it, make sure you come back with it. Amen.
Yes.
God bless you.
Bless you as well.
God bless you.
God bless everyone.